Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. Of course, he'll beat anyone's advertised price. Your mattress is free. Much to discuss today, the election in Georgia. Oh, it's so important. It's going to pretend the future of both parties. Not really. We'll talk about that in a moment. I've got Wendy Simmons on. I thought I'd have Wendy on. Wendy traveled through North Korea. Feel awful. How horrendous is it that they sent this kid back home and he dies, and that he was in who knows what condition he was in for the time that he was in North Korea. And he went there for tourism, and I started looking up North Korea tourism. I didn't realize how many people go to North Korea as tourists. You got to go in a group, and there are certain restrictions, but they are selling tours, and especially if you're overseas. They're reaching out to you because they figure you have money, and you may want to come over. Well, Wendy went on one of those, so we'll talk about that. I have a Rush expert coming up. I also have Kenny Rogers, iconic. The man has over 100 singles. He's made over $100 million, $100 million in albums sold. He's one of the most successful recording artists in history. So I got tickets to Kenny Rogers, the Gambler's last deal. This could be his last tour. I think that's it. Or Ann Wilson of Heart. So when we do the Peter Tilden news quiz, I'll give you a chance to win those tickets. Today is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. What you may not know that I found kind of interesting about this is that it coincides with Ramadan. And so it's a challenge because Muslims are supposed to, you're supposed to fast until sunset. But if you like live in Norway or Sweden or Iceland, the daylight can last up to 20 hours. So what do you do for dinner? So what they did was the religious authorities said that Muslims can either fast along with the closest Muslim country or fast along with Mecca and Saudi Arabia. So you get a little buy on that so you don't have to wait 20 hours till sundown. Isn't that wild? I'd never thought of that. That it impacts religions and fasting and whatever. That'd be my luck. That's the day I fast. And then one of the big stories today, big story, am I hitting this hard enough, is that Jared Kushner finally spoke. Everybody wondered what Jared Kushner's voice sounds like because he doesn't do TV interviews. You notice that? He doesn't speak in meetings where there are cameras. He doesn't give quotes to the press. Think about it. You've never heard Jared Kushner's voice. Well, I'm going to play it for you. If you haven't heard it, this is going to be exciting for you. Ready? You're going to hear, and this is the guy, this is important, because Jared, remember, is tasked with doing a lot. His policy portfolio is he's got a modernized government. He's going tomorrow to help work on brokering peace in the Middle East. So what does he sound like? You ready? Steve, pay attention to this. This is going to blow you away, Engineer Steve, and all of you out there. You ready here? Show hands. You ready? Are you? Have I built enough suspense? You want to hear what Jared Kushner sounds like? Tyru, yes? You want to hear what Jared? Here you go. The first time ever you'll hear Jared Kushner, and here it is.
The reason we observe the Sabbath dates back to when God created the world in 7 days. On the first day, God said, let there be light. And on the second day, he said, let there be Derek Jeter and the New York Yankees.
All right, somehow that got in there. I don't know what that is. But here is Jared Kushner, the actual Jared Kushner. He spoke at the Tech Summit. I think there were 18 tech leaders at the White House yesterday. I saw Jeff Bezos, sitting right next to, that's who you want next to you because he's going to own the world in 2 minutes. Somebody was there from, I think Tim Cook might have been there from Apple, and they were talking about getting the government technology current. So that was the summit. Here he is. Here's the real Jared Kushner speaking for the first time. Not speaking for the first time, speaking probably to you for the first time.
We created the White House Office of American Innovation in an effort to bring business sensibility to a government that for too long has relied on past practices as automatic justification for their continuation. Before I came to Washington, many warned me that the bureaucracy would resist any change that we tried to implement. So far, I have found exactly the opposite. To date, we've been working with hundreds of talented civil servants, men and women, who want to serve their country and see their government do better. We have challenged ourselves to pursue change that will provide utility to Americans far beyond our tenure here. Together, we have set ambitious goals and empowered interagency teams to tackle our objectives. It's working, and it's very exciting.
There you go. So that kind of anticlimactic. He sounds like a regular guy, and he's giving information to the tech guys. But it seemed like everywhere I went this morning was, oh, my gosh. He spoke. Jared Kushner spoke. He's so powerful. He's given all of these assignments in government. We should know what he sounds like. So that's what he sounds like. There's somebody who you may not hear speak much anymore, and that's Sean Spicer. Apparently, they're looking, or he's been asked to find his own replacement. And he wants to segue, according to some insiders, into something where he's not in front of the public, and I guess where he doesn't have to. What a high-pressure job this guy's got. He's always got to come out to the media and say, that's not what was said. This didn't happen. I know you saw it, but it didn't look like what it looked like. I know it was big, but it was really little. He's the guy's job is insane. So it looks like, and remember, they had a White House communications director, Matt Dubke, or Dubke, resigned in May. So there's no dedicated rapid response team to deal with questions about ongoing investigations. And while you got the investigations and you got the president's agenda and they're working on health care, and Paul Ryan's going to talk about tax reform today. There's a lot going on. How does Sean Spicer balance all that stuff? So it looks like Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked if Spicer was interviewing candidates, and she didn't say he's not. She said he's managing both the communications and the press office. So he's looking to recruit other people. Now, Steve Bannon, I don't know if he said this playfully or took a shot, but in the Atlantic report on the press briefings and the fact that there are less and less press briefings coming out of the White House, Bannon was asked about why Press Secretary Sean Spicer now conducts his briefings off camera. And he said it's because Sean's gotten fatter. That was really the answer he gave. Sean, I guess Sean is feeling a little bit, you know, he's subconscious about his weight. So Steve Bannon gave him a shot and said he's gotten fat, and that's why. Meanwhile, Jim Acosta from CNN is pushing back, and a lot of the media is pushing back, and we'll hopefully get somebody on tomorrow that's in the press room there, who is saying, why, if you're not giving a press conference that we can televise or that we can audio tape, what's the point of doing it? And Jim Acosta from CNN, whose job is to be in the press room, had this to say.
I wish we had some video or some audio from this briefing to share with you, but the White House mandated that we are not allowed to cover the White House press secretary for the United States of America in that fashion. And so, yes, when we're asking important questions about where are the tapes, does the president have recordings of his conversations here at the White House, the White House is refusing to answer those questions on camera or in any kind of fashion where we can record the audio. My guess is because they want their evasive answers not saved for posterity. That is the only conclusion one could draw, that when they give us answers, that it somehow reads better in print than it can be seen on television or heard over the radio. There were a number of important questions asked today about the health care bill that is being I guess, cobbled together in the Senate, and what the White House has to say about that. You're not going to hear or see those answers. The question was asked whether the president has the ability to fire the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. You're not going to be able to hear or see the answers to those questions. You're only going to be able to read about it. And I guess people can say, well, there goes the media again. They're acting like crybabies because they can't cover things the way that they want. But, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, Brooke, but I think that the White House for the United States of America should have these questions answered on camera.
So there you go. That's Mr. Acosta for CNN. What do you think about that? If you want to comment on that, 800-222-5222. He did mention health care. And Senate Republicans, just so you know, are, if you want to read about it, preparing to vote on Obamacare next week, the repeal. And senators may see the bill, the text of the bill, as soon as the end of this week. But this is not in public view. I mean, they think they can hold a vote next week, and they have a lunch this week, today and tomorrow, to go over this to try and get the vote going. They're all counting the votes because they don't have that many to spare. McConnell can lose about two senators in his 52-member caucus to pass the bill. And Democrats, of course, revving up the opposition to health care. I just want to know what's covered, what's not. Get me my darn health care. They're looking at the insurance market in the short term, and looking about Medicaid and winding down its expansion. And then, of course, they're going to discuss the Obamacare regulatory cuts and see how much they have to beef up the House's tax credits to help people buy insurance. So we have no idea because we haven't seen it, but they are going to push it to come out before the recess, the July 4th recess. I think for sure they're going to try and get something out before that, and hopefully it'll be something decent. something that we can live with. But who knows? Because we're not, like I said, there's no public conversation about this. There is some new news about Michael Flynn, and this is really kind of interesting news. It's Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, not leaked this, but he's the Democrat from Rhode Island. He suggested, he's the first one to suggest, that Flynn is actually cooperating with the FBI. And that then begs, you know, he asked for immunity. We heard that ages ago. What is he talking about? What's he revealing? Is he talking about what the president asked him, what he said? Because there are more revelations about him that he may have had trips to the Middle East, according to one about building $100 billion worth of nuclear energy plants that he didn't list and didn't give details about. So here's what Whitehouse had to say about the evidence Mike Flynn may be talking about.
Draw conclusions as a prosecutor about what we can see from the Flynn investigation. All the signals are suggesting that he's already cooperating with the FBI and may have been for some time. First of all, they had him dead to rights on a felony false statement for the statement that they took from him in the White House about his Kislyak conversations. Second, Comey reported that one of the things that the FBI does with cooperators is to get him to go back and clean up areas of noncompliance. And Flynn, who will never be hired by a foreign government again, went back and cleaned up his Foreign Agent Registration Act filings. Third, all of the reporting on the Eastern District of Virginia subpoenas is one hop away from Flynn. He's like the hole in a donut of subpoenas. And finally, one of the more talkative people in Trump land has gone absolutely dead silent. And that's what prosecutors strongly encourage cooperating witnesses to do. So this would be just another bit of leverage for the prosecutors to make sure that he was cooperating and giving truthful testimony in order to avoid lengthy imprisonment.
So he's speculating, but it may be, again, it's speculation. I'm going to start to use the word leverage, though, because it sounds so much better than leverage, that the Senator Sheldon Whitehouse thinks there's tons of evidence Mike Flynn is cooperating with the FBI as this investigation goes on. And again, as I said, today I've read revelations that a pair of top House Democrats are digging into whether Michael Flynn may have misled officials on a security clearance about these Middle East trips, including that one about building this nuclear energy plants. And Elijah Cummings, top Democrat in the Oversight Committee, asked for more details about an October 2015 trip Flynn took to the Middle East, citing details from Flynn's security clearance, including what Flynn told investigators. Here's kind of interesting if this is true. The hotel Flynn says he stayed at does not exist, and there's no record of a travel companion he took with him, Cummings and Engel wrote. So more questions about Flynn. How did this? Here's my big question. I don't care what administration is. How did this guy get vetted to be the head of the security agency with all of this in his past? The fact that the previous administration fired him, the fact that he was taking money from Turkey, the fact that he was in cahoots with the RT network, which is the mouthpiece for the Kremlin. Just odd that he managed to get the kind of clearances that he got without the kind of vetting that you would need for somebody that high up. All right. Anyway, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Those are the kind of the key points of what's going on in Washington that you should know about your life. As far as healthcare is concerned, as far as polling, Trump's job approval rating has dropped to 36%. This is in one poll, the CBS poll. And again, you know what I feel about polling. It went down from 41 to 36% lately. However, as far as our feelings of security, that the country is secure from an attack, they're up. I don't have the number in front of me, but I remember it went up, and it's pretty high. So conflicting things about his job, the job that he's doing, and the ability to protect the country, they don't necessarily jive or fit in. We come back. I do want to talk about the Georgia election and its importance or its overblown importance in the media. And I'll take your calls to 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.
All right, Steve, stop.
That is not President Trump's son-in-law. Stop. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Engineer Steve said, I think I found his bar mitzvah portion, and I don't think that is him. Thank you very much. Although the voice sounds a little bit like him. Talk Radio 790 KABC, and he will be going to the Middle East. He'll be going to Israel, seeing Netanyahu, and he'll be seeing Abbas tomorrow, which is one of the jobs he was assigned to go there and see what he can do in Middle East peace talks. You know what? I'm going to wait till the bottom of the hour after the news to talk about the election in Georgia, because there's a lot of interesting things going on there. Nationalized election, why it's getting so much attention. So I don't want to not go there and talk about that and let you know, get some insight on what to expect. Reminder, Kenny Rogers, the Gambler's Last Deal tickets, and Ann Wilson of Heart. We're going to do that with the Peter Tilden News Quiz. I just thought this was interesting with a couple minutes here before the bottom of the hour. In March, wind and solar actually generated a record 10% of U.S. electricity. I didn't know it was actually that high. A bit more than 10% of all electricity generated in the U.S. in March came from wind and solar power. That happens to be a record number for the country and reflects the continuing effort to install more renewable capacity across the nation. Renewals have tended to hit records in the spring and fall, which they call the shoulder seasons, because wind is more plentiful. And you get more sunlight during the seasons than it does in winter. And consumers tend to use less during the shoulder seasons because they're not usually running air conditioners or space heaters. So overall, energy use is low and peak demand. Fossil fuel-burning plants don't need to come online. So pretty interesting. And then the areas where they go, I think Texas was one of the big, big areas. Iowa is also big for wind and solar output. They make up 37% of the electricity generated in 2016, part of Iowa's high percentage of renewable energy, which is kind of stunning. Last year, Texas accounted for the most wind on the U.S. grid, with California trailing Texas in wind and almost making up the difference in solar. So I didn't realize that we were getting to there. I wonder what you have to do, though, to get it, what the cost is to get it from 10%, though, to 20 and 20 to 30, if there's a possibility of even doing that. Of getting the grid up of wind and solar to 20 or 30%. If somebody knows that, I'm not a wind and solar expert. 800-222-5222. That'd be great. And the storage battery thing, that market share is growing too, so that people can capture the wind power and store it for when you need to use it. So I thought that was a little bit interesting. And then in the news, I also heard that all those flights were canceled in Phoenix. I didn't realize that certain planes, they have the 120 degrees is it. You can't take off after that. Larger jets, like Boeing jets, can do 126 degrees. The Airbus can do 127 degrees. The reason for that, by the way, if you're wondering why, hot air is less dense than cold air. So the hotter the temperature, the more speed a plane needs to lift off, which means you need a big, big runway, much, much longer runway. So if you're in Phoenix and it's too hot for that plane to take off, they don't have more runway to use. That's why it can't take off, because the hot air is less dense than cold air. So bingo, give you some insight into. So I just did hot air, wind, and solar for you, a little lesson in all of them. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC. When we come back, we'll talk about the election in Georgia. How important is it really? It's a nationalized election, and I'll tell you why that is, why people are saying, why the media is saying it's so important. And if it's overblown in its importance, we'll do that next year on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep.
Mr. Kenny Rogers, iconic. You can go see him. I'm going to give you a chance to win tickets when we do the news quiz next hour. Or Ann Wilson of Heart. It's your choice. So they got this election, this special election in Georgia. And a lot of people emailing me asking me, what's the big deal with this election? So what the big deal is, there's not going to be a whole lot of electoral opportunities between the election of President Trump and the 2018 midterm. So this Atlanta congressional seat is become a referendum on the Trump agenda. So everybody's overblowing it. Both sides are going to overblow this. They're both going to overstate their win or the other side's loss and make it a huge, huge referendum, and it's predictive of something in the future when it's not really, because it's, first of all, they spent $60 million in the race, so that's already insane. Second of all, if you look at what these guys are touting, it's really, really interesting. Ossoff, John Ossoff, who doesn't live in the district, by the way, and he's gotten slammed for that, although all across the country people don't necessarily live in the district where they're running. Ossoff has moved way to the center. If you look at the tape of their debate, the two of them handles debate with Ossoff. Ossoff did not slam Trump when he had the opportunity, and actually went after Obama and the red line in Syria. So he's moving real to the center because he needs some moderate Republicans. He can't just rely on his base in that voting district to get him elected. He can't. It's just the numbers aren't there. So he has to be as moderate and reach out as much as he can to the right without alienating progressives to win this thing, which I don't think he's going to win it. And then handle what she did was she took Trump's backing. Trump tweeted his support. Pence gave support. But in her debate and in anything she says to the press, she's not throwing all in for Trump. She's not a White House surrogate. So both of them are dancing around. She needs the women vote to turn out. He needs the African-American vote to turn out. But again, he needs more than that. He needs in that district, he needs some Republicans, some moderate Republicans who feel alienated from the president to turn out and vote for him. And we don't know. It looks like it's going to be a big motivated turnout. That thing we know for sure. We don't know if Democrats can keep outperforming Hillary Clinton, which they need to do, which is kind of interesting. And special, it's a special election. And you remember, it's a single southern suburb, and we're 18 months away from 2018. So I'm saying don't put that much credence into this is what the parties are going to look like. And if Ossoff wins, the Republican Party is going down and they're doomed and they can start dancing on the Republican Party's grave. The same with Ossoff. If he loses, I don't think it's going to indicate it's going to shoot down some Democratic momentum because they would really like to have you need a win. You'd like to have a win on your scoreboard. But is that going to, again, as far away as we are from 2018, is that going to portend what's going to happen between now and then? I don't think so. So they've made it. The media loves making these things national and national stakes. And, CNN's been a little bit quiet about this. They haven't been celebratory. So I think they smell that Ossoff's numbers. It's really, really close. And Handel, remember, she ran against a lot of challengers, which is why her numbers may have been diluted. So it's hard to tell. The race is really, really close at this point from what we're hearing. But again, it's a nationalized race because since the election, this is one of the races that you can watch. And as far as predictive, though, I don't think either party. They're going to claim it. They're going to overstate what the win is, but I don't think it's indicative of what's going to happen. And by the way, both of these people are promising to bring jobs back to there. None of these people are going to be able to do. You know what they're going to do? They're going to follow the party line, and they're going to go with what the party line says they should do. So all of the promises are for naught in a small congressional district. But more interesting than that is to see how Ossoff changed. You can watch what he says, how he got like whiplash moderate. He went boom so far that he may have alienated some progressive voters. And on the other hand, Handel is being very careful as far as what she says about the White House and embracing the Trump White House because she doesn't want to alienate any Republicans who are not thrilled with the president's agenda. So I think that's my two cents on the race. It should be tight. We probably will have some kind of sense of it, but not till late tonight near the ending, because they think it's going to be a big turnout. And again, pretty close. So far, the numbers have all been pretty close. So there you have it. My take on the race in Georgia. 800-222-5222. If you have a take, lots more to discuss when Peter Tilden at 10 returns right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC. It's a bit of Ann Wilson. You can go see her or Kenny Rogers. Musical icon. I love interviewing Kenny. He is so, he's amazingly relaxed and really funny. I remember he was sitting across from me once, not in this studio, in the old building. And he talked about his plastic surgery. I said, Kenny, you look great. You don't look near your age. And he said, that's because of all the plastic surgery. I said, I can't tell. And he lifted up his hair and said, my beard now grows behind my ears. I said, oh, that's how you can tell. Coming up, we're going to talk to an expert, Stephen Sestanovich, who is a senior fellow for Russian and Eurasian studies, because I want to know what is happening with us in Russia right now. I mean, we have a Russian investigation going on, but all of a sudden, in the United States, Putin has been seen by a lot of people I talk to, less of an enemy. It's like, hey, why don't we reach out? Why don't we make him an ally? Why don't we do a kumbaya? Why don't we use him to help us battle ISIS? Why are we pushing? People get indignant about it. They go, we should. I want to talk to somebody who deals with that and has dealt with that and can explain why we're at odds with Putin and that his goals do not really go along with our goals and in any way, shape, or form. And then we're going to talk to a woman who is in North Korea and traveled there, because I didn't realize how many people go to North Korea a year as tourists. And there are companies. I started looking up on my computer this morning. If I wanted to go, there are tourist companies that you reach out to, and you can go over there with a group and tour North Korea. But, man, you grab a poster, apparently, or allegedly, and you want to rip it up or take it with you, and you get some kind of kangaroo court and a trial, and the next thing is you're shipped home in a coma in a medical plane, and then you end up dying, and you don't know how, the parents don't know how long this poor kid was in a coma or what put him in the coma, or even if they treated him properly, they gave him medical treatment while he was over there. But it was a shocker to me to realize how many people are going over there from the United States and other countries every year on tourism with a group. So we'll talk to somebody who actually did it, what you see, who you meet, and what the problems are getting out of the country. Because one of the things I do know is the minute you get in that country, you're assigned people to travel with you all the time, and they only show you certain things, but they take your passport. So the entire time you're there, there's no chance. You're there. You're not leaving. You're not getting out of town. If you're sick, your mother's sick, something happened, and you want to go, you're stuck in North Korea. So we'll get you some insight. Somebody was there. All of that and the news quiz, of course, coming up here. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. It smells nice. My girl likes the smell. It's hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Do it already. Get rid of your timeshare. You know you want to, because this summer you did it again. It's the summer. You missed the boat on booking. All the places you wanted to go to are reserved. One of your kids didn't want to go. Another has a wedding that they had to go to, or a bar mitzvah, or an event. Your mother's sick, so you can't leave. These sound familiar to you if you own a timeshare. You got a busy lifestyle. Your timeshare is left behind, but you're stuck. You can't get rid of it. You can't use it. Call Timeshare Exit Team. They're the most trusted name in the industry. They've got over 500 reviews, thousands of customers safely exited, and they're saving their customers millions in maintenance fees this year alone. That could be you. So call them. What are you waiting for? You're just putting it off, and it's going to be another year of maintenance fees and another year wasted. Call them. Timeshare Exit Team. You got nothing to lose if you want to get out of your timeshare. And schedule your free consultation. You're going to meet with a personal consultant. They're going to meet you face-to-face in an actual office, not a hotel lobby. They'll give you options. You make the decision on what's right for you. And then hopefully they'll get you out safely, legitimately, and forever. Plus, they've got 100% money-back guarantee. Go to their site. Check out all the testimonials there. And then give them a call at 844-853-EXIT. That's 844-853-3948. That's timeshareexitteam.com.